fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. That's right, Surface Guard. Don't worry about cleaning those germs and microbes and viruses and bacteria. Kill them with Surface Guard on every touchable surface and make your home safe, make your place of business safe, reassure your customers, protect your employees with Surface Guard, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. And it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m., and you're right where you should be in front of your radio to sift through all the news. Most of it's fake news anyway, and that's why you're here at Common Sense Radio, to sift through all of it and figure out what's going on. And as always, we are here every Thursday, crisp and clear, and we come to you through every medium imaginable, whether it's tune-in radio, across the traditional airwaves into that old truck radio you're listening on out behind the garage so your wife don't know what you're doing, or you could get it streaming at fmtalk1065.com. And how are all these novelties of technology possible? It is possible because we have the most erudite engineer in the land. He is a wizard with the electrons. He cares for them. He sanitizes them. He keeps them clean and safe and isolated until it's time for you to hear them. And he brings them to you. It is our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate those kind words.
Yes, yes.
Makes my day.
The keeper.
Makes my week.
The keeper of the electrons. He makes sure they're sanitized individually for each and every one of you. And we also have with us our director of quality assurance to bring dignity and decorum to this otherwise wayward show. And she is a head of our research department, executive producer, co-host, and Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here.
Always good
socially
to have.
Socially distant.
We're socially kind of.
Normally, we're socially awkward.
Well, that's always.
Right. But now
socially
always.
Awkward we have down. So does that count for socially distant?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
you're
it's
socially
gonna work.
Awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be good at that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No doubt about it.
That's why we're in the radio where you cannot see us. You can only hear us. Okay. All right. You know what we always would start with, and it seemed for a long time, it was every week we had something to report, We haven't really for a while. I kind of got out of mind, but terrorism, right? We always said, don't forget, because, you know, it was terrorist incidents all around the globe, and they kind of went through the news so fast with such regularity. It was kind of like, is it going to rain today? Are we going to get stabbed today?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If you're in Europe, it's pretty
axes,
common. You're gonna, especially
yeah.
if you're in London, yeah, it's pretty likely to be stabbed today.
Right.
Foggy and stabbings in London. We had, apparently there was a terrorist attack on Naval Air Station Corpus Christi.
Yes.
This morning.
Yes.
Now, we have very, very little about it other than apparently at about 6:15, a vehicle tried to run the barricade at the entrance. And when they did that, apparently they have these anti-vehicle things that engaged, stopped the vehicle, and it's unclear if there's one or two occupants. Started shooting, and the security forces there at the naval station returned fire.
Right.
And fortunately, they killed the one person, and one of the Navy personnel were injured, but apparently it was very minimal because they've already been released from the hospital, so thank God for that. But the only thing that they've released, it was an Arab male that they killed, and it's terrorism related, and that's all we know.
Yeah, I like
at
how they call
point.
That. But let's not forget, I think it was Tuesday.
Yes.
What was unraveled, and I would find
which we
it
suspected.
Hard to believe that this has zero to do with that.
You have to wonder. And what Teresa's talking about is it came out Tuesday that the Department of Justice announced that it was about a year ago.
Right.
The
right.
NAS Pensacola.
No, it was actually just in December.
Oh, yes, right.
It's not even been that long.
It seems like
really.
It was December. NAS Pensacola. Yeah. It was one of the Saudi Arabian flight students.
Right.
Came in one morning, went nuts, started killing people, and wound up killing, I think, three. It was three.
Yes.
Three sailors
yes.
were killed.
Like, yeah, very young, too.
And all real young. They're 18, 19, 20 years old.
Right.
Awful incident. And they've announced that this guy was tied to Al Qaeda.
For years.
For years.
We have been planning this
and
for
it's
a
like,
while.
Mm-hmm. first of all, how did the Saudis not vet this guy and send this guy? And then, well, what is our intelligence services doing? I mean, I guess they're so busy trying to figure out who peed on the bed that Obama slept in that they're not paying attention to the real terrorists. This boggles my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
we just keep letting it.
And the shooter in Pensacola, I think he was there for months, if not a year, before he did it. He was there for quite a while.
And they've unraveled. They went backwards in his social media. He basically told everybody he was going to do it. I mean, looking back, hindsight's 2020, but
he wasn't really hiding it.
No, not at all. And so now I think they finally somehow got into the phone
because Apple will not cooperate.
Well, again, which is very disturbing, and I like my Apple phone, but that part of their company really does.
We protect privacy so much that we protect the terrorists.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just,
how they screwed up. If they would have gone and said, we believe this guy was a Trump campaign advisor.
Boom,
they would open
Apple
that phone up. Apple would open that phone.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, here it is. Here, we'll open that phone. We'll get you everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just the presentation, right?
That's right. That's
it's
right.
The presentation.
How are you going to sell it?
But now, thank God nobody was seriously injured this morning. But I think there is something that has to do with that because, we think it's a coincidence they announced an Al-Qaeda connection in Pensacola 2 days ago, and then 2 days later.
Well, and there's been a lot of chatter against Trump, too. Like, not really chatter, because that's more like the
secret news?
Stuff. No, like, the clerics are coming out and just, with their ways of slamming Trump and
in their
preaching is. Allah wants death to Trump. And, in the way that they do it, there's been a lot of ramping up of that I've read about. So
that's interesting
remember,
timing.
Remember, I think the last time we met in here, because, then we had to go in our bunkers.
We had to go to our bunkers.
But, that's the problem with everything being COVID-19 news only.
Yeah.
We have to always remember to almost think opposite of what we're being fed,
right,
or what we're even reading, mm-hmm. even if it's good sources, because a few things dominate,
right,
and it doesn't mean other diseases have went away, other problems, crime, terrorism. Better believe
the world is still out there doing all the things they were
not
doing.
No. Social distancing. I'm sure they're still planning and plotting, and now we know.
So pray for those sailors out there. And all of our servicemen around the world, and hopefully they'll keep them mm-hmm. safe, because apparently they're moving, they're doing things, and I would obviously they're not gone, and there will be more attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be ready. And bravo to the Naval Station Security, because
what I find difficult to believe is that somebody attempted an attack this way.
That's a
Well, and they both are naval air stations.
And
that's why I find it hard to believe they've got to be connected somehow.
Some way.
Yeah. But I mean, every base, and I know, I'm most familiar with NAS Pensacola, but I know that, security measures have been heightened, ramped up. They've got the barricades.
Right.
They've got the you got to go through the S kind of thing in a lot of places. They've got the vehicle guards
that pop up.
And it all happens pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And contrary to the idea of armed forces being unarmed on bases at the gate, they are armed.
They're armed, and they should be.
I'm telling you, they are armed.
They are.
Which is good. I mean,
I wish they all
could be armed, but that's another story for another show.
And I will tell you that over the years, and I remember being in the service, there were debates about whether they should be armed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were worried about accidents or something like that happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were and people mm-hmm. would be like, well, what good is it to carry a sidearm if you're not got bullets in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or what good is your security if they can't defend you?
I think every one of our military personnel who are mm-hmm. on guard, in NP or whatever, I think they're all a little bit better than Barney Fife.
No, they are.
Barney Fife could carry his gun, but he only had one bullet in his shirt pocket.
Because I remember this is probably 30, 20 to 30 years ago, there was an incident one time on a ship that the petty officer, the watch, when you're in port at the quarter deck, the petty officer of the watch is armed.
Right.
So can't just let anybody on. And somebody discharged a bullet accidentally, right?
Mm.
On watch, on a ship, accidentally shot it. Nobody was hurt. It was just an accidental discharge. So for a period, you know what the solution to the Navy was? No bullets.
No bullets.
So you had a guy there with a 45 and he had no bullets.
Yeah.
And that lasted for a few months until I guess somebody went, well, that's stupid.
A gun without bullets is nothing but an expensive paperweight.
Well, and it's even worse because you think a guy's arm.
It's not even a good rock because it doesn't throw well.
Yeah, but it's even worse because it makes you a target.
Yeah.
The guy with the gun is a target, right?
Right.
Yeah. But if he can't shoot back, it's like a sitting duck. Yeah. It was. So God bless them that they did a good job and they pulled through that and kept it safe. And I guess, are we already on the break?
We are indeed.
We're already on the break, so we'll be back with more. We got lots more. And then, of course, your texts and phone calls at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. And don't forget, if you're reopening a business right now and you need to protect your employees and reassure your customers, there's no better way than to have the Surface Guard certificate that your surfaces have been treated with Surface Guard. It doesn't clean, it kills germs, microbes, viruses, bacteria. It kills them on contact with these microscopic little daggers that spikes that they land on. So give David a call at No Steam Carpet Clean. Give him a call at 610-3349. 610-3349. Call him now. And he can also bring you sanitized mats, give you a sanitized mat service. I mean, all the things you need to reopen safely in this crazy COVID-19 post-pandemic world, or if we are post-pandemic, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, and that gets into the you were just saying, there's the rebellion starts. That's what you just said.
It is.
People are kind
they're
of fighting
just
back,
standing
kind
up,
of fed back, fed up. I mean, like one of the ones today, you know, the barber in Michigan that the governor tried to shut down and pull his license.
Right.
She was over, they went to court and the judge overruled. Judge said that he can open and that they can't do what they did to him.
Right.
So that he can stay open. So the barber in Michigan, the barber from Michigan wins.
Yeah. So absolutely.
But there is rebellion.
Well, and then the girl in Salem, Oregon, that stylist, she's really pushing back. Well, they sent first OSHA came in and harassed her. She's got 23 people that like rent spaces from her. She's not really their boss, but she probably owns the building or whatever.
Yeah, that's how they work.
But then they've just harassed her, terrorized her. But the kicker was she's got a baby and like a very small child. They send in Child Protective Services.
Oh,
I mean,
it's getting nasty. But she's lawyered up, and they have so much ground to stand on. I think she's going to do great. But
I thought it was interesting a couple of weeks or so ago when some protests first started, you know, and Nancy Pelosi, in her infinite wisdom, made the comment, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, you know, protesters are revolutionaries. And so I saw a nice meme on my Facebook post feed and came down and said somebody needs to remind Nancy Pelosi to either watch what she says or remind her that the last time we had real revolutionaries in this country, it did not work out well for the ruling class.
Right. That's exactly right.
I thought
reminder
very
of that.
Appropriate.
So yes.
Be careful, Nancy.
But so now the big issue that's coming out, a lot of it is face masks.
Yeah.
Because there's some places in the country where they're mandating them. There's some stores. I think Costco, I heard, I don't know this, but I heard Costco, you can't go in without a mask.
Yes.
That's actually
is that
that's
correct?
True. Very correct.
Yes. So there's some places that are implementing that. Some states are mandating it around the country that if you go out, you have to wear a mask, certain things like that. So here's the question. Is the mask, your face mask, is that a courtesy? That you're being courteous to others and that you're being prudent, or is it surrender to the fear?
Well, here's the thing, and I can only speak personally. I wear a face mask when I go into a public store, grocery, Walmart, wherever. I do that. I have a supply of N95 masks, so it not mm-hmm. only protects other people from me, but it protects me a little bit better
from other people
than the surgical masks do. So I do that voluntarily mm-hmm. because I think it's a prudent thing to do. I'm a caregiver to my mother. I don't want to think anything
home
to her.
Mother,
so,
right.
You know, it's
it
a whole line
for
thing.
You. Right.
But if you want to make sure that people are not wearing face masks and refuse to wear face masks, have the state mandate it.
There exactly.
I
have
agree
the
with
state
you, Mark.
Tell
right.
you must do it, and you will have
rebellion.
More and more people that say, you can tell me what to do.
That's
I
right.
am not going to do it.
And I'm that type. Like, I have
yeah.
that spirit. But I agree with you 100%. Yeah. It's a free country. If it's in your best interest, you want to wear one.
Wear one.
Then wear it.
I mean, I had to go to the doctor last week, and they required me to wear one to come into the clinic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was kind of like, well, I don't really know any of these sick people in here. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was
yeah.
okay
mm-hmm.
with that to go in the clinic. So all that was good. But look, we got Thomas, longtime regular listener and friend of the show. Thomas, what do you got for us?
Well, good evening, Pete. Teresa and Mark.
Hey there.
It's good.
I'm sitting here with my bells, and I just want everybody to have a happy and safe holiday, and comment briefly on these masks. Yeah, I don't go out too much, as you probably know, but I do wear when I go out, and that's about 8 times a year. See, I got an eye doctor and a heart doctor, and then a regular doctor, and I've got about 4 or 5 of them. So that's what I do.
Yeah.
I wear it because they say more than yourself, you might do well for the other people and not spreading stuff.
So you would call it a courtesy to wear the mask?
Yes.
A prudent
yes,
courtesy,
definitely.
Okay? So
yeah,
now you were going to bring about President Trump?
You're doing something for mankind. Now, Trump can do whatever he wants. I don't care what he does.
Yeah, because there was a brouhaha that he had been wearing a mask, and then he went and he toured a Ford plant in Michigan, and he didn't wear a mask, and there was a lot of people getting upset about it. Although there was part of the report said that they went into a certain part of the plant and they said, look, we really prefer in this area wear a mask. And they said he did during that part. But whenever they got out of that part, he took his mask off. And there's been a lot.
Yes.
Which
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Trump
could order chicken salad for lunch and that becomes
news.
That's news.
Big
that's
news.
That, there's a controversy.
Well, he got a little cocky there. They asked him about the mask. He said, well, I wore it back there, but I didn't want to wear it up here so the media could get a picture of me wearing it. And they had already filmed on him. That was already out. He antagonizes people sometimes. But
why do you
think
he didn't want to wear this, have the media see him wear a mask?
Too. They antagonize him sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah,
well,
they're like, pretty much that's about all they do. But why do you think he doesn't want the media to see him wear a mask?
I think he was just playing up for FaceTime because it was a big thing yesterday. Oh, what's he going to do? Is he going to wear it? Is he not going to wear it? You know, and the gamblers are there and all upset and everything because they said they figured that he wouldn't wear it.
So Vegas had odds on the mask?
There was book being made on the president wearing a mask.
He also came out today and said,
Dalton guy, he's a gambler. He's an old-time gambler, and he bets all that sports stuff. You know.
He came out today and said that even if there is a second wave, we will not shut the country down. So, you know, I believe in optics.
Yeah.
No, I think everything. It may just been kind of like a wink and a nod because he. I think he knows now this was a huge mistake economically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's just saying for the small business people, they're not going to be sad about seeing him not wear a mask. It's kind of like a symbol of what he just said.
Well, and
perhaps.
Why I asked the question, is it just a courtesy or is it a surrender?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him, that's the way he's looking at
it,
that I am not going to surrender to the fear.
I agree.
Right.
Okay. I agree. There's a danger out there, but it's not that bad. I've calculated the risk. I'm taking hydrochloroquine, which made everybody lose their minds.
Which was a bigger deal than the mask.
Oh, it was a bigger deal.
Is he drinking Clorox, too?
He chased it with a Clorox chaser. He washed it down with Clorox. He did say that.
Oh, my God.
It's always a pleasure
talking with you guys. You have a great holiday and be safe.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
All right.
Now, you know,
just a disclaimer, I have to say this because somebody might hear what you just said. Please do not do a shot of Clorox.
No.
That was a joke.
Clorox. That was a joke.
We all knew it was a joke. But if you heard it on an AM station. I was listening to AM radio when I heard that.
Don't drink the Clorox.
Yeah, no, just a hopefully people are smart enough to know a joke, but apparently not.
Not always.
But now the funny thing about the optics, right? He didn't want the media to see him with a mask on. Mm-hmm. The media does not want you to see them without a mask. Mm-hmm. And there's a great clip of one of the White House briefings in the last week where all the media is sitting in there in a White House briefing. They all have their masks on, right? The press conference ends and whoever that girl is, the cute girl now, they have the press secretary, McElhaney or whatever. Yep. She's done it. As she walks off and they're showing it, and all the journalists rip their masks off. As soon as it's over, they all take their masks off.
It's just a show.
It's a show. Because as soon as it was over, they took their masks off. So you can juxtapose those two.
Yeah.
The media doesn't want you to see them without a mask because they want you to believe, oh, my God, it's danger. So we're in danger. We're in peril. And the president's like, no, it's not that bad. I'm willing to. To me, I kind of put it to akin of when you go into battle.
Yeah.
And the general says, I will have my sword drawn and I will be in front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in front.
Yeah.
We're going to attack and I will lead the charge. To me, that's kind of what and this goes the opposite.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So, I don't know. If you have a thought about that, courtesy or surrender on the face masks, you can text us at 251-343-0106 or give us a call. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
Yep. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a very special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. That is your headquarters for dry fit, custom-made shirts, custom-made banners, custom-made signs, promotion materials, anything you need for your business, for your softball team, for your family reunion, you need shirts, you need signs, whatever it is, go to abcsigns.biz, that's B-I-Z, or abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes and to pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again. It's a day of thanks for the valor of others, a day to remember the splendor of America and those of her children who rest in this cemetery and others. It's a day to be with the family and remember. I was thinking this morning that across the country, children and their parents will be going to the town parade, and the young ones will sit on the sidewalks and wave their flags as the band goes by. Later, maybe they'll have a cookout or a day at the beach. And that's good, because today is a day to be with the family and to remember. Arlington, this place of so many memories, is a fitting place for some remembering. So many wonderful men and women rest here. Men and women who led colorful, vivid, and passionate lives. All of these men were different, but they shared this in common. They loved America very much. They stood for something, and we owe them something. Thank all of you, and God bless you, and have a day full of memories.
All right, that is President Reagan delivering Memorial Day remarks at Arlington Cemetery in 1986. So, and I thought it was appropriate because this is Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And it also goes along with the column this week, When Americans Are Afraid. Mm. And what I, basically the gist of the column that you can get at BamaNewsNow.com, or you can read in the Call News or Washington County News or the Tri-City Ledger or whatever, is if we're, because we're being told to be afraid constantly. Mm-hmm. We're constantly instructed we should be in fear. Oh, this is going to kill us. And I'm not trying to minimize the danger. There is a nasty virus out there. And if you've got any sort of underlying health issues, yes, you are in danger. So not minimize that. But we're, all of us are being instructed to be afraid. So the column was, well, let's reflect, when are Americans really afraid? And the gist of it was, the very first Americans, before they ever got here, were afraid. The pilgrims.
Yeah.
They were afraid of not being able to worship God.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there were Americans who were here, and they were afraid of losing their freedom, of being ruled by a tyrannical government without representation. Mm-hmm. They were afraid, and that drove them to war. There were Americans that were afraid that they couldn't provide for their families and stake out their American dream, and they were pioneers. They conquered this continent. And then there were Americans who every time, whether it was trying to put down, you know, slavery, or it was whatever dictator or despot around the world rose to put evil, like World War II or the Korean War, try to perpetuate some kind of evil on the world, we were afraid of that, and we rose up and we conquered those things. So when Americans are afraid, if they're afraid for their liberty, for their freedom, mm-hmm. for their right to work, their right to worship, that's when they're afraid. They don't get afraid by just hurricanes or pandemics.
And you got to remember,
they react.
The government's job is not to protect us from things that aren't God-given liberties and rights. So, like, the things that come from God, government's there to protect those, and that's what our Constitution embodies.
Right.
But even God himself doesn't promise a life free of sickness, a life free of danger.
Right.
Those aren't God-given rights. So the government can't, by nature, endow those things to you. It's impossible.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because God himself doesn't do that. So when you really boil this back and think about it, you're expecting something from government that's not even possible.
Right.
Right.
And that's why you get this hysteria and this kind of, there's no end game and when it comes to trying to create a perfect diseaseless society.
Exactly.
It won't happen.
And if you take into consideration that human beings are social animals, we need to be in contact with each other.
Right.
This separation, isolation, you know, shelter at home kind of thing.
It goes against God's law.
For this period of time has done some serious damage to a lot of people. I mean, there are folks that are seriously emotionally ill, damaged as a result of this.
Well, even God says in the first chapter of the Bible, it is not good for man to be alone.
Yes.
It's very basic.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we can't be, and sometimes we are, and even solitude's good
from time to time.
But not to be alone, meaning that's not a lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
It just isn't.
No.
Right.
So, and that's what the column was about. You can check it out at BamaNewsNow.com, When Americans Are Afraid. And then we had a text come in from Bert and Theodore. Remember when Obama refused to require people arriving from Africa to be tested for Ebola? I'd rather catch coronavirus 1,000 times than Ebola once.
Yeah.
That's a perspective point.
I concur.
Yes. All right. We got Frank from Mobile. Frank, what do you got for us?
I've got a question about carrying the face mask. Yeah, there are a lot of areas. What people don't realize is that when I wear a face mask, I'm protecting you. When you don't wear a face mask, you could potentially be infecting me. And so people don't realize that, so that I'm trying to help them, but when they don't have a face mask and I'm interacting with them, they could potentially be infecting me. So why don't people wear face masks?
Well, I think a lot of people are choosing to wear a face mask, so I take it you're wearing a face mask every day?
Well, every time I'm out of my office or my house, I am, absolutely.
So you don't wear a face mask in your car alone?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'm making a joke because I see people doing it. I'm like, why are you doing that? You're all alone in there. So, no, and that was the question. Is it a courtesy? Is it prudence? Or is it a surrender? Now, how long are you going to wear a face mask?
I'm going to wear a face mask until I think we have a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Until we get a vaccine, everybody needs to be so careful about how this virus is spread.
Well, it's already mutated.
Yeah, it's
it already has.
Now, the one thing, though, there's a possibility that it may be a long time before we get a vaccine, and we may not even get a vaccine. I mean, HIV still doesn't have a vaccine.
No, there's going to be a vaccine. It's just not a matter of when. I don't think there's any question about that. Being somebody in the medical field, I don't think there's any question about that. It's going to happen, but that may be 6 months or 12 months. But until that time happens, everybody who's out in the public needs to wear a face mask. Because if you don't, you could potentially be infecting me. And every time you go to Publix, or I was in a store today, there were four people in there who did not wear a face mask, and I was within 3 feet of there when I was checking out. I mean, that's just crazy. It makes no sense.
But wait, but you were wearing a face mask, right?
Yeah, I disagree.
So if you're wearing the face mask and they're not, aren't you protected?
Pardon?
If they're not, but you are, aren't you protected?
No. See, that's the fallacy with all of this. If I have a face mask, it protects me from infecting you. If you don't have a face mask, it does not protect me from protecting you.
Okay, now that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're wearing it and it doesn't protect you,
no.
How does it protect me?
No, it protects you because if I cough or sneeze, any of the droplets I get are not going to go through to you. But if you cough or sneeze, your droplets are going to come through my mask. Mm. And see, that's what people don't understand. I mean, if you ask any healthcare provider, they know that that's the situation.
Well, no, that's not true. Some doctors and healthcare providers have given different information.
I'm sorry, what?
So the information is not 100% one way or the other.
Okay, well, how about 90%?
Well, I don't even know that.
One of the things you're getting at is the masks, and this gets into microns or whatever.
Yeah.
The mask will only protect you at certain microns, and the virus. From everything I understand, there's very few masks that actually
are small enough
microns to keep the virus out. Right?
The science. Yeah.
So that's what you're saying.
No, what you don't realize, the mask that I have on protects you from me. Sending you and
it right, and that's what I'm saying.
If you go out into the store, then you're being selfish just for going to the store. Then
what?
Because you came out. I mean, if your logic is correct, just by coming into a public place, you could be damaging the safety of all those around you. Logically speaking, your argument doesn't completely hold up.
It's obviously everybody should know. There's no question about this. The CDC, the health department, everybody. When I wear a mask, it protects you from me.
Then why are they releasing
prisoners?
You don't
wear a mask, it does not protect you from me, and that's what everybody doesn't understand. So if you don't wear a mask, then you could potentially be infecting me, because there are a lot of asymptomatic carriers out there that if I'm in the store and I'm buying something, and you don't have a mask on, and I'm within 3 feet of you, and you're talking or you sneeze or cough, those droplets are going to infect me because my mask does not protect me. And that's what everybody
I see your point, but I'm still a little perplexed. If it doesn't help you, I guess what you're saying is whatever your droplets are, the mask catches it. They're not going to get out of your mask.
Unless you're wearing an N95 mask.
Right, and that's what I wear.
You wear an N95?
Yeah.
Well, you're protected.
I may be an asymptomatic carrier.
But you're,
I may be an exposed 2 days ago, but I don't have a fever, I don't have a cough, or any of that.
Yeah.
So I wear that so that if I'm interacting with you, so I'm not going to infect you. But if you're over there and you don't have a mask, you potentially are going to infect me.
Yes, correct. But if you're wearing an N95 mask, you have a greater level of protection from others simply by the N95 mask.
Because that's what you wear, right?
That's what I wear, but not everybody has that.
How many people do you see out in public or have those N95 masks?
No, they're very few.
No, they have socks wrapped around their face.
Yeah. Yeah, most people are wearing bandanas around their face if they're wearing something, or they're wearing a surgical mask or something like that. I've done some study on
this. I think the bottom line should be everybody, when you're out in public, if you're at Rouse's, if you're at Publix, anywhere you are out in public, the person you're interacting with on the other side of the counter needs to have a mask.
Well, and they put sneeze guards up everywhere.
Well, I have problems with that, too, and I'll tell you my story from the weekend.
All right.
I happen to disagree, but I'm so glad you called, Frank.
Frank, thank you for calling in.
Call back again.
Okay, yeah, we appreciate you listening and calling.
I'm sorry y'all are ignoring the guidelines for the CBC. I'm not saying you need to shut down things. I think people should be out there doing what they need to do. But if you're interacting with the public, wear a mask.
Proper protection. And that's what a lot of people are saying.
They are. And a lot of people are doing it.
So. And a lot of people are doing it.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Frank.
Frank, thank you for listening. We had somebody text in saying it's a one-way virus or maybe a one-way mask. Okay, so we have comedians on the text line.
And not all N95 masks are created equal, and I'll
we'll get into all
that.
If
you want to know, I'll explain a little
bit about that. We'll get into all that, but we will be back with your calls and texts at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. Okay, we've been talking about the masks and all that stuff, and there's still this big debate about the lockdowns, and it appears that it's turning into sort of a blue versus red. Mm-hmm. That the red states are opening and the blue states are determined to stay locked down, and which makes you go, so has this become a political crisis instead of a public health crisis? Because it seems pretty obvious the blue states want to stay locked down because they want as much economic damage as possible between now and election.
Well, you know what
Michigan is trying not to open. California doesn't want to open. I think they're, July or August? Michigan's July or August, which they're starting to be rebellion in. But there's being costs. Victoria's Secret is closing 250 stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
JCPenney has declared bankruptcy.
So Pier 1 shut
down. And Pennsylvania said, we're not going to reopen until there's a vaccine. Now, I know Frank seems to think there's a vaccine in 6 to 12 months, and I guess he's in agreement. President Trump says the same thing, but from what I understand, that's not a sure thing that you get a vaccine.
How about this?
The flu vaccine is only 45% effective, from what I
researched. But my understanding is not really a vaccine. Right?
The flu?
No, the flu shot is not really a vaccine.
No, because of mutations.
Okay. No, I might be wrong about that.
I'm not an epidemiologist.
I'm not either, but what I heard
is
the flu does not really have a vaccine. The flu shot is a preventative that basically gives you just enough, which I guess is what a vaccine
that's
is supposed to do, but it doesn't.
That's
why it's 45%.
Right.
You know?
Well, maybe. You know, while we're talking about this and government mandates of wearing masks and getting a vaccine when there may be one, and you know, and a lot of people are raising, you know, me included to some degree, government telling me I have to do something makes me want to say no. But I can remember, and Pete, you probably can as well, the polio vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember as a child standing in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
You know, eating my sugar cube. We had the sugar cubes.
No,
and you had the
big shot here on my shoulder. I still have it.
I'll tell you,
that's
took
creepy.
There were some times where there were places that, you know, questioned whether or not I had been vaccinated
because you didn't have
the little scar on my shoulder.
I got
the sugar cube. But I don't know. I was too young at the time to know if it was a mandate, but I know that my parents, you know, required me to stand in line and eat it.
Well, I think because we were very young back then, but from what I remember and what we've read, polio was a horrible, debilitating disease.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty rampant, and it was a real, real threat, especially to children. And so when they came out and said, we want you to take the vaccine, I think most people complied because they had seen what polio can do, the damage. And they weighed the risks and said, you know what? We want to protect against this.
Well, you mentioned the lockdowns and the dialing back. You know what I would love to see that we haven't? Remember how sick we got of seeing models? Remember this? With the curve.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't do this, and then it goes down the hill. And if we do this, remember the models? And, oh, we heard about the models. And the models say that I haven't seen one model about what's going to happen to this economy.
Right.
Every month that we watch it peter out.
Right.
And you know what? People die from bad economies, too. From suicide, starvation. The list goes on and on.
Homelessness.
It's not just about one disease.
Look, if you've started businesses and you've lost your entire business, and you know how hard it was to put it, you know, build that business over 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Well,
I mean, that's huge.
Just today I read, you know, Georgia opened up first, kind of, sort of, the most.
And everybody in Georgia's dead?
Well, what they're saying now is the jobless... It's not changed a whole lot because so many businesses couldn't open their doors again. You know, an economy is not like a light switch. You can't just flip it back on when you feel like it.
No, it's like that with the restaurants here. Some of the restaurants have been unable to open because they can't get the provisions ready.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get employees back.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot to it. It's not like you said.
So I'd like to see a model of this doesn't change. What's it going to look like in December? What's it going to look like? I mean, I've not seen any of those models.
Continue the steps. And mentioning that, I think Governor Meemaw came out today and said next phase out of the Safer at Home is that entertainment venues, bowling alleys, gyms can open.
Uh-huh.
I think Monday. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but she came out and
right.
said
I saw that
they
too.
Can open. So everybody's going to be allowed to open. Restaurants, I think, is still 50%, which – my lovely bride and I went to Carrabba's last Saturday, and they were operating at 50%, but they were full.
Yeah.
The 50% was full. So, I mean, because we actually called ahead to make sure we had a reservation because we're kind of worried about that. Mm-hmm. And our server, all the people in the restaurant were wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought about wearing a mask, but meatball, they don't have a mask that a meat. That the microns and for a meatball, right?
That's the thing.
Because I was asking, how many microns is a meatball?
It's very difficult to wear a mask and eat a hamburger.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
So there's stuff like that. And then for people who think you should drink beer with a straw, that's really a bad idea.
That's not good.
I'm just going to put that out there.
No.
That's a bad idea. Okay? Somebody texted in, if you're headed to the Gulf for the holiday, expect 10% wearing mask protection, as was my experience 2 weeks ago. Great show. All right.
Yeah,
we appreciate.
Like to hear that.
Yes, we do. We appreciate that. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time.
No,
left.
You see my finger?
Oh yeah, because I was going to get into the Flynn thing that's still going on.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got to say, watch what's going on with the Flynn case and the dismiss. It's very interesting. The judge doesn't want to let it go, even though the DOJ has moved to dismiss. And he asked another judge to come in to write an amicus brief.
Right.
That judge is a retired judge or was a former judge who was working at the same law firm that's representing Sally Yates.
Wow.
So watch. Wow. Much more to happen. Hey, Memorial Day live stream on Facebook, 8:30 at the South Alabama Veterans Council. Our Memorial Day ceremony, 8:30 Monday. Honey, it's time to come home.